speaker, and I want to introduce them collectively to make a couple of points. First, notice that they're from Caterpillar Corporation, which means bulldozers and giant equipment. And when I first found out that we were having speakers from Caterpillar, my mechanical engineering heart leaped because I thought bulldozers and such. And it turns out that Mr. Mark Fletterer, who's chief of vice president of research and development at Caterpillar, has a BS in electrical engineering, right? And Mr. Sid Vanwart has his BS in chemical engineering. And so I rethought it and said, well, they're living proof that engineers are very versatile and multi-talented. And so that's point one. Point two is that you never can tell what you're going to be doing. So you double E's out there may someday be designing Caterpillar or tractors. So anyway, our primary speaker, Mr. Vanwart, has a BS in Chem E from Iowa State, an MBA from University of Illinois, and he is Vice President of Human Relations, Human Services Division, and among the things that he's in charge of is Human Relations, Corporate Human Resources Strategy and Services. But before he was that, he was General Manager of their large engine center. So another case of diversity and multitasking and multi-talented. So he's going to talk about globalization. And remember when we first started this seminar, we said it's going to be things that are relevant to your projects or to your career or both. This falls into the both category because some of you will for sure be working on projects sponsored by multinational and global companies in the short run. And in the long run, your future job prospects may depend on globalization. So that's enough said for me. I'll turn it over to our speaker.
Thank you very much, Dan. Good afternoon. Delighted to be with you here today. We're going to talk a little bit about globalization. So let me ask a question. How many of you have a passport? Okay, that's great. You're off to a great start. How many of you have stamps in more than three countries? Fabulous. This is a great group. We'll talk about globalization and what it means. The next question I have is, putting myself in your shoes, who is this guy? Why would he be here talking at Vanderbilt? I'm an engineer, yes. But part of who I am is where I grew up and how I grew up. One of my earliest memories is sitting on my great-grandfather's lap, age 5 or 6, and now I'm going to tell you why my hair looks gray. Hearing my great-grandfather talk about coming to the plains of western Iowa in a covered wagon. True story. And the reason they came west to the plains was President Garfield had a homestead act, and if you came west, settled the ground, plowed the prairie, built a house, lived in it 3 years, you got a deed to 160 acres, and that's still in our family today. My great-grandfather understood the economics of farming. It was a lot of hand labor, right? So the way he dealt with that was he had 13 kids. And my grandfather was the oldest of 13, and mechanical equipment still hadn't come around much, so he had 13 kids too. My dad had 6 brothers and 6 sisters. So when I got into high school, I looked around and saw 64 Vanwart first cousins, and I said, you know what, there's not enough farm ground in all of northwest Iowa for me to be a farmer too. I had always loved math and science, and I wound up at Iowa State with a degree in chemical engineering. The reason I wound up at Caterpillar was because of a great experience as an intern. That's the reason I wound up at Caterpillar. And I had a lot of other job offers. The market was really hot the year I graduated. And I know you've got some professors who are telling you, you better plan to work for 6 or 8 or 10 different companies in a career. And I'm here to tell you there's still a few companies out there, like Caterpillar, where you can have that many careers inside the same company. And I'm living proof of that. I was hired as an engineer. I worked in design. Then I moved into operations, became a certified quality engineer. Then I had an opportunity to go to work in a joint venture with Martin Marietta in Denver. And following that, another opportunity in a joint venture in Seoul, Korea with Daewoo Heavy Industries. And then to Monterrey, Mexico to start up a new operation where I learned Spanish and had a great personal and professional experience. From there, I moved back to a plant in Illinois and was there only 10 months when my boss walked into my office and said, "Sid, we're reorganizing the company and your job's been eliminated." Didn't feel very good. But you know, it was a big company, there's lots of opportunities, and the elimination of my job at that plant created an opportunity for me to be a product manager in charge of a P&L, where I was responsible for design, sales, quality, and a whole business of technical products for Caterpillar. From there, I had the opportunity to run the large engine business, and then the next job I got was Mark's job. I was the chief technology officer for the company. Then I went back into a line job and ran a $2 billion business with 22 plants, 3 engineering design centers, and global responsibility. And then following that, I was Caterpillar's first chief information officer. Now I'm responsible for all the people stuff worldwide. I never dreamed I would be in a position like this. But it's the most interesting, challenging job I've had so far. So there's still places like this out there where you can have 5 or 6 or 7 different careers inside the same company. We're a big company, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. But I'd like to challenge you with the idea that may not be very comfortable, that you're going to have to compete not just in the United States, but you're going to have to compete in the globe, because engineers are available everywhere today. Everywhere. Lots of them. I can tell you from living in Mexico, actually, that Mexico is graduating more engineers per capita than the United States. You hear a lot about India and China, but if you can put ingeniero on your business card in Mexico, that's a big deal. It's a status job. Is that true in the United States? And I would say, from our point of view, the number of engineering grads is not keeping pace with the number of engineering jobs. Now, what do you suppose the impact of that is? Yeah. Companies like Caterpillar and other large companies are beginning to develop engineering centers outside the United States. We're importing engineers into the United States who are educated in other countries. We're working hard to help promote engineering as a career field. You know, one of the only movies I can remember where engineers were portrayed as the good guys is Apollo 13. Now, there's a few others, but not many. How many movies have you seen where the journalists were portrayed as the good guys? Or the lawyers? You can think of a lot of them. Compared to how the popular culture views engineers, I think it's kind of a sobering reality. And then, of course, we have to continue to enhance opportunities for women and minorities in engineering. Here's another issue. The globalization and communications are changing the landscape of how we work. What are the implications? We're all looking globally for talent. We're creating more international teams of engineers. If you come to Caterpillar, you might be assigned to a team that does a lot of its work on same time or some other connectivity where you have to arrange your meetings so that somebody in Japan and somebody in France can meet with you every day.
What time of the day would that be? Midnight. Yeah, or if you don't want to stay up and meet till midnight every night, do you suppose you could convince them to meet, to sacrifice on their schedules once in a while? Did you ever think about the fact that you might be on a team with people from other countries? How about designing products in one country for sale in another? I was fascinated recently to hear about Siemens, strong company in Germany, had two cell phone flops in a row in Germany. The market share was lousy. Turned to a design team in China and created a hit in Germany. It's truly an international issue. And I didn't use the word outsourcing on this fourth one, but I could have. Labor arbitrage really means the same thing. A lot of companies are doing that today. So it's a changing landscape. So how do we deal with it? Well, let's talk about some basics. For us, you know, you all know about the big yellow equipment, but a third of our business is engines, clean diesels. I don't hear anybody applauding, but I would tell you that on a per horsepower basis, a clean diesel like the kind we produce, produces 40% less greenhouse gas per horsepower than the engine in your car. Clean diesels do have an environmental future. And when the government mandates taking the sulfur out of diesel fuel, January 1st, 2008, just like they mandated taking the lead out of the gasoline many years ago, we'll be able to use catalytic converters on diesel engines. Then not only will they be a low greenhouse gas engine, they'll be the cleanest, most efficient power plant on the market. And in addition, they're more efficient than a gasoline engine, and I predict all of you are going to have a diesel car in less than 10 years. We're also a technology leader in construction and transportation and mining and forestry and all those things. We have over 90,000 employees, plus our dealers have another 100,000 employees around the globe. We're a member of the Dow 30, so we're a member of the Dow Jones Average. And we were just named to the Dow Jones Sustainability Index for the sixth consecutive year. One of our biggest businesses is recycling. It's called remanufacturing. We remanufacture engines a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth time. And by that sixth remanufacture, can you imagine how much energy we've saved through the recycling instead of through the production of a new engine? And by the way, those remanufactured engines have a warranty same as new. We'll be about $40 billion in business this year. We have over 11,000 engineers worldwide. And look where they work. Down the left-hand column is kind of maybe some of the traditional things, but look over on the right side, logistics, marketing. Half of the marketing people we hire every year have degrees in engineering. And if you come into marketing at Caterpillar, you'll be in Peoria, Illinois for 2 years of training, and then anywhere in the world, from Kuala Lumpur to Johannesburg, South Africa, to Dubai or Kansas City. And believe it or not, we got a few engineers like me working in human resources. We have 300 operations in 40 countries, and we sell in over 200 countries. We have engineers located in 157 different locations. Most of our design control is in the U.S., but look where else we have design control. I already mentioned Japan, France, Belgium, Brazil, India, the U.K., and China. All Caterpillar employees, I might add. We value that global engineering experience because we're an international company, because half of our sales are outside the United States,
and half of our people are outside the United States, we're in the middle of a cultural transformation.
From a big company that sells outside the United States to a U.S. company being international to now our third evolution, which is trying to be truly global. One of my colleagues that runs one of the big businesses inside of Caterpillar was born of Italian parents in Belgium, educated in Belgium, worked for Caterpillar in Brazil, in France, in Switzerland, and is now running a major operation in the U.S. Truly a global citizen. Speaks five languages. That's what's, and he's an engineer. That's what the future is like. We view diversity broadly. Yes, it's gender. Yes, it's ethnicity. But it's also international experience. It's also cross-functional experience. You know, I didn't get all those cross-functional experiences by accident. We believe that bright people, and engineers certainly fall in that category, have a lot to offer. And we look for leaders, people who can lead in any function, not just in engineering. And we say global mobility is an expectation of our upper leaders. If you want to make it into the upper ranks in a company like ours, you have to be globally mobile. We have an engineering succession planning group, and I'm not going to read through that for you, but it's a very extensive operation to identify talent and develop talent. In fact, when a new engineer comes into Mark's organization, they go into a 15-month training program consisting of four different stations, four different areas, to learn about Caterpillar before they get their first real job. We take a long-term view of people. That's why we're willing to invest in a new person like that. This is the program I was just describing. Career Quest is the next step where we help people develop a career. This is part of the long-term view. And you could be an engineer's engineer. You could go into engineering leadership. You could become a key part of our Black Belt Six Sigma program. You could become an engineering manager or coach, or you could move cross-functionally in many, many different areas. So we have the engineering process and a talent management system to go through it, but we also have global linkage. We have a knowledge network that's international connectivity. We have 1,200 engineering communities of practice. A community of practice might be everybody who designs crankshafts for engines, or everybody who designs hydraulic systems for excavators. That's a community of practice. These community of practices are online. Every community of practice has a monitor. Every community of practice has interaction. And maybe I can show you how this works a little bit. Here's an actual sample from Brett. He sent it to his community members on June 16th. This one happens to be an old one, but he says, "My name is Brett, and I'm a project engineer here at Cat Elphinstone, which is in Tasmania, Australia." So he's in Tasmania, and he's got a question, and he posts it out on his community of knowledge. And he got answers from, down at the bottom, Randall Pruitt, Chris Johnson, and Mark Ginn. So it came from Tasmania. He got an answer from France, from Desford in the United Kingdom, and from Aurora in the U.S. And they solved his problem. And the most recent one that I like to talk about, we hired a young lady as a new engineer in England. She's designing a new engine. She was having problem with the design of the camshaft. She posted the question out on the Knowledge Network for the camshaft community of knowledge. And within 24 hours, she had thoughtful professional answers from people she'd never met in engine design centers from around the world. To make that work, you have to have the technology, but you also have to have the right culture
of people who are willing to share. So how can you prepare for the future? I would encourage you to work with others from different backgrounds. And obviously you're doing that with by coming to a place like Vanderbilt and by having the passport and by using it to connect with other people. Work in teams. I remember a conversation I had with a new engineer, and I was trying to communicate to him that one of the most important things he could learn how to do was communicate. And he says, oh, disagree. Not necessary. I said, well, tell me more. Why do you think it's not necessary? He said, I'm such a good engineer, my ideas speak for themselves. A little bit arrogant. But I said, well, okay, I'll grant you that that might be true if you're talking to other engineers from Vanderbilt, because they would understand you. But what if you're on a team with an accountant and a marketing person and somebody from operations and a supply? And they don't get it without an explanation. Don't you think your ability to communicate is really important? Oh, I've never thought about it in that sense. So, my experience is your ability to communicate is almost second to none in terms of your ability to be successful. Intern or co-op, grab it. Grab it anytime you can. It's a great experience. Learn a second language. Learn a second language. A good friend of mine operates a plant in Suzhou, China, for Caterpillar. It's about 10 years old, doing well, produces the best quality excavators in our whole system. He was talking to the employees one day on the shop floor in an all-employee meeting, probably a room about this size, talking about the importance of China to the Caterpillar system. And he said, you know, we want to encourage you to feel part of the Caterpillar family, and so we would encourage you to study English, because it is the language of business. One person raised their hand and said, if you will offer a class after work, now remember, this is an assembler from the factory floor, if you will offer classes after work, we would come on our own time and study English. So he said, that's a deal, we'll do it. Today, 70% of the factory people in that plant are studying English on their own time. How many of you are taking the initiative to learn a second language? Understand business. When an engineer is involved in a team to design a product, it's not all just pure design, as many of you know, if you've been in your senior projects. You have to meet constraints in cost. You have to meet constraints in time. You have to meet constraints in function. There's all kinds of constraints that cause the creative juices to grow. But if you don't understand business, you won't be as relevant as if you do. So I would encourage you to do that. And then finally, seek educational experiences. In fact, demand them from Bob and the other professors that you deal with. The real world is cross-functional, folks. The real world is cross-functional. You need some cross-functional experiences. Seek educational experiences that show the implications of globalization and manage projects with other disciplines. Some things that some of our recent graduates had said, I wish I would have known before I entered the workforce. Brian said, the importance of being able to communicate with individuals of all different professions, and then even more so, all nationalities in the world. Think about the challenge of communicating with someone where English is a second language and maybe a weak one at that. Chris said, I wish I knew more about the processes involved in getting design concepts to the sales floor. And Kareem said, I wish I had taken a cross-functional class in engineering, marketing, or business, because I did not know how well-received engineers were in the marketing and business aspect of the company. Brittany said, I wish I would have known which classes would become useful in my future career and which ones were irrelevant. With the technical expertise being an integral part of creating growth in business today, engineers can find themselves responsible for all different ages in the life cycle of the product. I'd like to show about a 4-minute video, and then Mark and I will open up questions. How do I light up this screen? It kind of disappeared on me. This video is a series of 30-second commercials that were shown on CNN International that kind of gives you a flavor of who the company is. And so let's just play the tape, and then we'll come back for some dialogue.
1991. The Kuwait oil fires had burned for 60 days. Then came equipment from a U.S. company, the world leader, Caterpillar. Because we've come through mudslides, earthquakes, monsoons, and Arctic blizzards, we got our chance to come through a desert storm. As a company from the U.S., we at Caterpillar have become the world leader in earth-moving equipment. Sometimes we help build bridges. Sometimes we help build roads or dams. But one of the jobs we're proudest of is something we help tear down. Caterpillar. February. The beginning of the long Antarctic winter. When the last plane leaves the South Pole, so does any possibility of outside help. Left behind as the night comes on, the U.S. research station depends on Caterpillar, a world leader in diesel generators, to stay alive, proving when it comes to survival, we're the fittest. Hong Kong. It's part of an exciting new world that's growing so fast you never know where it's going to grow next. So with our worldwide reputation for meeting the toughest deadlines, we at Caterpillar aren't surprised to find ourselves involved in the world's largest construction project, Hong Kong's new airport, in the only place Hong Kong had room for it, the South China Sea. Before the collapse of communism, Miroslav Tkachuk never really knew a capitalist. Now, he is one.
I established my private company 6 years ago.
Just in time to help build a new Czech Republic. Not to government specifications, but to the requirements of its citizens. Including Miroslav Tkachuk.
Because now I am boss.
Flood control and electrical power project in history. Like similar projects of other times, it will become a focus of world attention, inspire far more than the usual effort, and change the lives of millions of people forever. Projects of this magnitude tend to do that. We know. We've been present at most of them. For many years, we've been known for making machines that are big and yellow, and bigger and yellow, and even bigger and yellow. But we also make machines that are very smart. This one, for example, has more electronics than some aircraft, including 8 onboard computers. So, from now on, you can think of us as smart and yellow. Okay, big two.